We're at Genesis 30, verse 25. The ongoing saga of Jacob. I would dare say, I think that Jacob has gone through things that we will never go through in the last few chapters. Now, we may have a class of things that he goes through that would be similar, but certainly this is unique. Verse 25. Genesis 30. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that should be by divination." By experience is because the King James translates it that way. It means divination. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, "Name me your wages and I will give it." And Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it is now increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. It came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before their eyes, before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jacob and the example that we have of him. Lord, it is not all good. It's not sugar-coated. It's not a hero type of portrayal. He's a man like everyone else. and a deceiver in some ways, as we've seen. But increasingly, a man who is your man and one you have chosen to bless. And we pray, Lord, that that example will be what we see, and the glory be to you for how you dealt with Jacob in this situation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The rise of unions in the world, you know what a union, not very popular around here. In some parts of the country, a union is you got to be in the union or you just can't work. And there's a lot of horror stories about unions. But unions, if you give unions the benefit of the doubt, which I very seldom do, but if you were to say what was good about a union of workers, they come together and form a union and they strive together for good working conditions, is that if there were bad working conditions, then a union would tend to be justifiable almost to some. That they say that the work, the employer is not treating us fairly, we're being cheated, we're being lied to, we're told that we're going to get this much and we didn't get that much, we got this much, and people get angry and they come together and they form a mob and they call it a union. And they really get out of hand. And they go to the other side, they start getting selfish and all such things. But to cut all that off, if you really wanted to have a no union situation, then the best thing that an employer can do is treat their workers properly. To not show any disrespect or cheating behavior, to pay what they said they would pay, to make the working conditions good to work in. If a company disrespects and cheats workers, you can expect some problems. And you can expect some problems on the bottom line. But where employees are treated fairly, people want to work there. People like to get in. I know people that work for BMW, and they end up with a BMW as part of the deal. And BMW keeps the car up and all like that. And you know, somebody hears that, they say, you know, I might like to work there. If it's pleasant, if it's fair, if promises are kept, all benefit. And that's not to say that worker unrest is going to be solved by that, because we know very well that it doesn't take much to get people upset about just nothing. But if you start a good company and have good practices and good hiring practices and good working conditions and good benefits and good pay, as much as an employer can do, then you've got a good situation. And so you want to make it good to work there, or take it to a business, a small business. It's very difficult in our day. Well nigh impossible, just about, I have to say, to start a new business, because there's so many regulations, so many tax burdens. And because of that, there's no business starts. People don't start businesses as much. Who would have figured? If you want less blood donors, then serve prune juice after they give blood. And you're guaranteed to have fewer blood donors. If you want less shoppers in your store, raise all your prices, play loud heavy metal and rap music while they shop. And on the way, the price says $20. By the time they get to the register to check out, it's $35. You'll cut down on your shoppers. We kind of get that situation here with Jacob. Last time, studying Jacob, we studied how he had turmoil in his home. What a situation Jacob have. Jacob doesn't strike me as the John Wayne type. It seems to me that Jacob was, you know, he's not Esau. And Jacob was tricked in his marriage and given Leah, who was not that pretty, we're told, instead of Rachel. And then Rachel was barren, but Leah was giving birth. And she was relishing that fact over Rachel, and Rachel was upset and ended up doing surrogate things. We saw that. Bilhah bears Naphtali and Gad, or Dan and Naphtali for Rachel. And then Leah realizes she's not bearing anymore. And so Zilpah bears Gad and Asher. And so by the time Asher is born, Jacob's got four wives, basically, although two are surrogates. And there's conflict. And then you get some situation where Jacob comes in from the field and Leah says, I bought you for the night. You got to stay in my house. So Leah has some more children. It's just a mandrake thing. And it really is wild. And there's no peace there. And last time we discussed how that's a choice that is made. And Leah thought Rachel had stolen her husband because she had his affection. But of course, Leah was never intended to marry Jacob. As far as Jacob was concerned, that's another thing. He did not find that out till the next day. But now we find that he's got 12 kids. And he's working with Laban's flock. We see that in the opening part of the text for tonight. The time comes where Jacob is ready to move on. And Laban is wealthy because of Jacob's labor. And we see that Laban knows that. Verse 27. Please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Laban was not a righteous man. He was a deceiver more than Jacob even. He was unjust in his dealings with Jacob. We'll find that out in the next chapter, really. He was very materialistic. Even his daughters, when it was time to leave, felt they had no part with their father because of his ways. Laban was an idolater. He had household gods. Rachel stole them as she left. And we see right here, he practiced divination. Divination has been done by all sorts of ways. Anything you can think of, you can say anything to divine. I don't know if you've watched, maybe the men here, some of the ladies, have watched Lonesome Dove. Remember Lonesome Dove? Augustus McRae wants to know if he'll ever marry again. And the cook can tell futures. So what does he tell Gus to do? Spit in the wagon. What? Spit in the wagon. So he spits in the wagon and says, nope, you don't have any more wives. You can make anything up with that. You got cards that people use. You got sticks that people use. You got astrology. You got horoscopes in every paper. I doubt there's a paper you can find, mainstream papers that have a horoscope, astrology things. People divine. Some people cut open a cow liver or something. And look at that. So I'm going to read tea leaves. Flip a coin. Draw straws. Some is more considered a lot, not divination. Divination has more to do with, occult types of things. that the powers of darkness might show the way. And he did that. And he realized by divination the Lord had blessed him for because of Jacob. So he's not a good guy to work for. And so in verse 25, after Joseph is born, Jacob says, let me go on. I'm going to go back to my home. I'm ready to go back home. That desire is from the Lord. You look back at chapter 28, verse 15. When Jacob was on the way to Mesopotamia and has encounter there with in his dream with the Lord. Verse 15, the Lord says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So he said, I'm going to bring you back here. And so through the years, the 14 years and another 6 years, I mean, he's worked and he's been away all those years and now he's ready to go back home. But it's not yet time as far as the Lord is concerned. Because the Lord has something to do for Jacob before he sends him back. And so they discuss his wages. Verse 28, name me your wages and I will give it. There's no kindness in this. There's no mercy in this as far as Laban is concerned. Laban is not paying up until he's about to lose his good worker. Then he says, well, I'll just give you whatever you need. I'd like for you to stay because I know that I'm blessed because of you. Jacob says in verse 29, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For you didn't have much. Before I came, you had a little bit. Now look at it. It's quite massive. And I'll note this too, that Laban was not satisfied with that. He was still living for just making more. But Jacob says this in verse 30. You know, you've been blessed because of me. But when shall I provide for my own house? When am I going to make some money for myself? I'm not talking about stock options. Companies, they'll give stock options. Jacob wants to know, when am I going to make my own fortune? So Laban says, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, not one thing. Don't give me anything. I'll work on commission. I'll make my own way and keep your flocks. Now, right now, doesn't say, but right now, you got to figure Laban has won this deal. Because he has Jacob talking about staying, keeping his flock, and continuing to amass a fortune for Laban. And Jacob wants nothing. Only what comes from that point. And from what is produced in Laban's flock. So it's a perfect situation as far as Laban is concerned. He says, if you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. Now it seems at first he means to get them right away, but it doesn't really, it's not what happens. He's saying that I'm only going to take from the solid ones, the solid colored ones, as far as the sheep are concerned. I'm only going to take the ones that are speckled and spotted from that. So he says, let me go through this, get all those out. Get all the speckled and spotted out. And if you find any in the future, in this that I'm going to keep, this flock that I'm going to keep, then you can consider it stolen. I'm going to take out everything of yours, of mine, from the speckled and spotted. I'll take that. If it's yours, then if it's in my flock, then you can consider me a thief. So he says that, verse 33, my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs shall be considered stolen if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. It's almost like he's saying, it's too good to be true. I'm missing something here. But look what he does. He removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Here's what he did. He agrees to the wages that from the flock that Jacob is going to keep, there are not going to be any speckled or spotted or striped or anything in there. And, you saw the thing, brown among the lambs, the goats. So he is going to work the solid colored ones. And Laban took out all the speckled and spotted and went 90 miles away. So there'd be no mistake and no commingling with any animal that might produce a speckled or spotted offspring. And he sent them with his sons, Laban's sons. 3 days' journey from Jacob. So that's pretty much Laban's going home going, can you believe that guy? He is so stupid. He just gave me more service, more fortune, and I left him with a bunch of sheep and goats that are mine. And no outside influence of speckled and spotted to make them be anything other than solid in mind. I bet he had a fine ride home. Jacob, verse 37, took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. Let me tell you how much I know about the reproduction of lambs and goats in this fashion. And that's it, what I just said. Jacob is trusting in the Lord here. But as all trust in the Lord, you don't trust in the Lord and lay down. You don't trust in the Lord and do nothing. You don't say God is going to provide and don't get a job if you're able to work. You do what you can do. You use whatever industry you have. He's given Laban a big advantage. Now, there's a couple of observations that I would make about this taking these green poplar rods and almond and chestnut trees and making stripes in them. The belief is that if animals mate while seeing that, then the thought was they would give birth to speckled and spotted and striped or whatever. Calvin mentions that in his commentary, that it was believed that would be true even of people. I don't know what you get speckled and spotted with people, but, you know, it was something about the way they saw things, and especially animals. There was something about the way these gave birth. If you can see, when they conceive, he would make sure that they would see these stripes in this wood. Now, whether that was effective or not, I don't know how it could be. But he did that to increase his own flock. I don't think he did wrong here. He's just leveling the playing field a bit. The other thing is, as an aphrodisiac for animals, to encourage them to mate in this place, the kind of thing that would be in the wood that would be mingled with the water, some say that would have caused them to want to conceive there and mate there. I won't be writing any books about this, but you may notice that whatever he did worked, whether it was some effect from the things he did or if it was all the Lord. There became quite a big reversal in what he did. He says, verse 39, so the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Now, they weren't streaked, speckled, and spotted in the flock. They were all solid. But by what he did and where he did it, it worked. And verse 40, Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. So he separates them out as he was supposed to, because he weren't supposed to see any of that in Laban's flock. It was his, and the solid ones were not to be in his flock. It came to pass, verse 41, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. When the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. So he practiced some genetic engineering here. Or at least he did not the genetic engineering, he made sure that the ones that were bringing forth, according to his hopes of the speckled and spotted, that they were the stronger ones. And verse 43 tells us then, thus the man, Jacob, became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. From what? Solid livestock. Now we're back to who's the real tricky guy. Laban's had his run on that. And Jacob has been tossed here and there by his wives and the circumstance with his labor. And Laban has changed his wages 10 times, he's going to say in the next chapter. And so he's been knocked around, and now Jacob is doing what Jacob does, and he, as he says, wants a living for his own. How is he going to provide for his own house? Laban's rich. When am I going to have a chance? And Laban agreed with that and thought he had the upper hand. And without the Lord's providential care of Jacob and Jacob doing whatever he could, that would have been the case. But from what Jacob did, he's got a big bunch. So by the verse 1 of chapter 31, I won't go too far, said, "Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, 'Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth.'" Boo-hoo, right? Laban is a trickster. He's not done with it. To the end, he's an idolater. He's a diviner. He cares only about money. And he thought he had taken Jacob for a ride here, and turns out, by the Lord's care, the opposite is taking place. So Jacob's doing two things. He's trusting in the Lord, and he's peeling strips from poplar and other trees and making some motivation for his flock, the flock of Laban, to bring forth striped and speckled and spotted for him. Pretty tricky. And it wouldn't have worked without the Lord. So all these things he was doing, at worst, you can say, made no difference at all as far as the mechanics of it. But he's trying. He's employing something he's heard. He's employing something that he believes will work. He makes sure the weak are Laban's, the strong are his, and he's working. He's doing exactly what he said he would do. And the Lord prospers Jacob. And that's why he's left behind. That's why when he was ready to go back in verse 25, he's ready to go back to Canaan. And it's not time yet from the Lord. Because what the Lord wanted for Jacob was to get his own living. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they came out full. Great increase God provided for Abraham and for Lot even prior to this. The Lord chose to bless Jacob materially. And he was there working for Laban. Laban's getting rich, going on and on, and not changing his character at all, still doing what he was doing. But the Lord wanted, before Jacob left for Canaan, to make him wealthy. And we see in verse 43, he's there. Exceedingly prosperous. Large flocks. Male and female servants, camels and donkeys. And this is your money of that day. And he had a bunch of it from nothing. And the Lord blessing Laban because Jacob was working for Laban, Laban did not connect the dots. That when Jacob worked for himself among Laban's flock, that the Lord just might shift all that over to Jacob. Because surely Laban knew that he wouldn't be blessed because of his own character, or he should have. So when we get to chapter 31, which we'll do, Lord willing, next time, Jacob has acquired what any man wants for his family. He wants to be able to provide for his family and increase, and when he goes back to Canaan, he doesn't want to go back empty. He wants to go back full. And he was ready to go back empty, it seems. But the Lord has blessed him, and graciously now he's going back full. Any comments or thoughts you have?